Scott Laughlin and Kevin Bessler, and joined in the studio by State Senator Bill Brady. Good morning. I haven't seen you all year. This is the first time I've seen you.
Well, you didn't show up on New Year's
Day. You did. Were you here New Year's Day? You did not roll in here New Year's Day.
You were dead to me.
That's it. All right.
You want to explain that?
You dead to me? I have this thing. I've been doing it for years. Where if somebody doesn't show, I've got a list of people that are dead to me. And I say that kiddingly, but people don't get
finally.
People don't understand. People don't understand my sense of humor. I've ticked off Senator Duckworth. She was candidate Duckworth at the time. Shane Coultra, who ran. Let's see here.
I wonder who's got the best percentage attendance record for showing up. I bet I do.
Yeah, have you ever missed?
I don't think so.
100% attendance, pretty good.
I'm not going to claim perfection.
You know who else? Barrickman's good. Rodney Davis is great.
Barrickman's just good, and Davis is great.
Barrickman, once in a while, we don't know whether he's coming in or he's going to phone it in, but he's been coming in lately.
Who's the worst? Probably.
Oh, well, I'll tell you who it used to be. He's no longer serving. Is Aaron Schock.
Oh.
It was horrible. TV was always pulling him away. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you missed the Scott Laughlin show, and who knows what will happen to your career.
That's right. I kid, too. The road to Springfield runs right through the studio,
right,
my friend.
You're right.
All right. So let's talk about Springfield here. Let's start with the ugliness, all right?
It's a beautiful city.
Your take? No, it's no. The Jeannie Ives ad that is running now has got a lot of people in your party upset, wanting her to pull it. In this, I'll play a little bit of it. I'm playing right into her hands here by playing this.
I think you are.
You know, I won't play it then.
I'm not telling you what to do. It certainly was a media stunt, if nothing else.
It's a mock. You got pro-abortion people, pro-transgender people, pro-illegal immigration people thanking Governor Rauner for passing legislation that benefits them, basically. What's your take on this? Whatever happened to the old adage, you don't, the Reagan line.
Well, first of all, I have endorsed and supporting Governor Rauner for reelection. I think he's got a record that is one to be proud of. He told us he was going to shake up Springfield, and it's been difficult with Mike Madigan in charge of the Illinois House and virtually a veto-proof chamber. And John Colton in charge of the Senate. So but I do believe Bruce Rauner's done some great things, particularly to this area, like helping bring Brand Industries, 500 jobs, Rivian Motors, and he's accomplishing things that give me reason to support him. Having said that, I'm pro-life. I believe that where I've been sympathetic on the issues of children going to schools in Illinois. In the area of immigration, I do believe we need strong immigration laws, and many of the issues that candidate Ives supports, I support. But I think the taste and the tact of this ad is a publicity stunt that has offended a lot of people who even agree with what Jeannie Ives supports, and that are different from Bruce Rauner. And I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to who are offended, Republicans who are socially conservative Republicans who are offended by this ad.
Well, you're in a leadership position. Have you said anything to her?
You know, the state party has asked her to pull the ad. And if they can't get her to do it, then I don't think anyone's going to get her to do it. She's got to run her campaign the way she does. But it's not helping Republicans' ability, in my opinion, to win over independent voters and win elections in the general election.
And she's standing by this ad, too, right? She's not backing down, as far from what I've heard.
That's what I've heard as well. I've not talked to her about it. But I know there's been an outcry to pull the ad. I was with Governor Rauner Saturday. He was in Bloomington or Normal. At the Still. He wanted. He's a fan of the.
He comes to town. Calf. He goes to Schooners. He goes to the Still.
Well, that's where the people are.
I guess. Yeah.
But he's a fan of jobs in the craft brew industry, and what a facility that is. And his opinion was it just shows that he's the most electable person in a general election to take on Mike Madigan.
You know, did you get a chance to see, I'll call it a debate, the governor even called it a debate, with the governor and Jeannie Ives with the Chicago Tribune editorial board? Did you get a chance to see any of that?
I saw most all of it.
Okay. What frustrates me about the governor, and I support him too, his constant attack, and I understand too why he's attacking Mike Madigan, because he's evil. Mike Madigan is evil. He doesn't say so much, but he does use the word corrupt often when speaking of Madigan and the way things are done in Illinois, and the way things are done in Illinois is because of Madigan. How does he think he can sit down with Mike Madigan and get anything on his agenda accomplished?
Well, I'll give you an example. The governor, when he ran for governor, he said, I will be the education governor of Illinois. I will be the best education governor Illinois has ever seen. And true to point, we passed over the summer evolutionary education funding reform and a system for lower-income students to go to private schools. I think your news reported earlier about the outcry and enthusiasm and support for the tuition tax scholarship program. Governor Rauner led a task force, a bipartisan task force. Senator Berkman was one of our leading representatives on that task force, representing the Senate Republican Caucus, and made great progress. At the end of the day, Leader Durkin and myself and Speaker Madigan and President Colton sat down at the bequest of the governor and worked out a bipartisan agreement. So things can be done. The governor gets it. Where the governor and we Republicans have real problems is with the Democrats and Speaker Madigan is the absolute power they have on some other areas. And the disappointment we had in negotiating a comprehensive plan to put Illinois back on the right track, not just in education. And then Speaker Madigan, for whatever reason, and he would have to defend this decision, decided to go a different path in the July 4th weekend and left a lot of the things on the cutting room table. So it has been difficult for Republicans, not just Governor Rauner, but for Republicans over the last decade or so.
Oh, yeah.
To deal with the Democratic control. Speaker Madigan is at the helm of that control. You know, I'm not faulting him necessarily for the positions he takes and who he supports. They're different than what we are. But we're looking for a bipartisan. We got it in education, and that's why the governor believes his next 4 years will accomplish even a great deal in the area of job creation and tax reform and property tax relief. Even with Mike Madigan as Speaker. And I think there's reason to believe that. I think Mike Madigan will be less threatened by the governor not running for reelection. You know, he said he wants two terms. Just the other day he said, you know, at the Tribune editorial board, I think he said he would, this will be his last term if fortunate enough to be elected to serve. But I think we'll see a different attitude from Speaker Madigan in it. And I think an opportunity to really accomplish some things if Governor Rauner is reelected. If not, then Mike Madigan will be able really control everything. He'll be able to draw his own map again. He'll have his governor in place, and we will be subject to the Chicago political winds for the rest of the state. And you know, that's what Mike Madigan represents. His caucus is predominantly Chicago centric, right? Mm-hmm. So you would expect that. That's where he would come from. We're looking for more balance. Bruce Rauner brings that balance. But that balance can bring about successful endeavors like the education reform package In spite of political differences.
Let's talk about education, higher education. Tribune had an editorial a couple of days ago, I want to say, about the situation that the state of Illinois is dealing with. And presidents of universities want more money, I think to the tune of $100 million. And kids are going elsewhere.
Yeah,
they're going to your Iowas and your Michigans and your Wisconsins and Indianas. What's the plan? And have you had a look-see at the budget, and is he going to address this on Valentine's Day?
You know, the governor believes that the next phase of education reform and study is higher education. Over the summer, we announced, and I was there with him, to announce an initiative to bring a high-tech center, something Illinois has not had, that would be a cooperative engagement led by the University of Illinois, but work with private and public universities and campuses. I will say that recently, Senator Rose, member of my leadership team, and leader Dan Brady, member of Jim Durkin's leadership team, initiated legislation to really take a deep look at not just funding of higher education, but systems and policies, and that's what we need to do. The presidents of the universities are doing what they need to do. They're asking for all the resources they can to sustain their viability and their ability to grow their universities and develop a product, an educated workforce that we need in this state. But this is going to take a comprehensive look. Because of Senator Rose and Representative Brady's initiative, each caucus has appointed members, like in the education reform, and the governor has encouraged us to begin the process just like he did in the K through 12 education reform to deal with these issues, because we need a comprehensive plan. We have education has fallen under the budget cuts starting with Blagojevich through Quinn, and it's time to refocus that effort, because it's not only great jobs for the people who work there, a great brain trust for the state, but keeping people in the state. Now, I will tell you this: I have sponsored legislation that would, over time, make our state institutions non-for-profit private institutions and use the state's resources to provide grants to Illinois high school graduates to stay at an environment or a higher educational institution in Illinois of their choice. Because I think one of the bigger problems we do have is what you mentioned in your question, and that was students are leaving the state. They're going to other states to get their higher education. And when they do that, it's harder to get them back. And we know that the greatest states in the nation have the greatest workforce and the greatest people. So when we lose the people we've given a K through 12 education to another university in a state, we're putting at risk the very future of this state. And that needs to be a predominant focus. How do we keep Illinois students in Illinois institutions of higher education and working at Illinois companies?
And, you know, it's what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are they leaving the state of Illinois to get their higher education elsewhere because that's where the jobs are? Because you know, through internships in college, I mean, you could land a nice gig when you have fewer opportunities here.
Well, there's lots of reasons. Let's face it. Some people just like to live in a different climate. That's something you're not going to change.
It's 3 below 0 right now. I thought the government controlled the weather.
What an opportunity to do cross-country ski right now. And where else could you do that? You couldn't do that in Florida. Couldn't do it in San Diego. But anyway, every community has its assets. But I do think that we need to rebuild the reputation. And what I'm talking about is the University of Illinois is an outstanding flagship university in the nation, and as is ISU. But rebuilding and building an image and a reputation is the most important thing we can do. Now, you do that by focusing efforts on what you really need and what each university can help deliver as in its role. I think part of that's taking into consideration what the private universities do, but not losing the scope and focus of the public. But my reason for thinking about privatizing over time the public universities is oftentimes we in Springfield dictate things that put too many restraints on our public universities' ability to meet the needs that they should be focused on rather than meeting some legislator's whim in Springfield.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the election. A lot of people disenfranchised with the governor and his own party. He had won this guy in the House, Cabello, calling for the governor to resign. He made that statement after he obviously is backing Ives. But I'm getting a sense that there are, it's more than just him, that are disappointed in what the governor has done in the last year. You talked about the great successes, but there are a couple of bills that really ticked people off, and you mentioned one. Was it HB 40?
HB 40 was the pro-choice legislation.
Right.
And it clearly...
So as a leader, though, here's my question, as a leader of the Republican in the Senate, are you getting a sense of this, too, that people are not...
Well,
going to back this guy?
I think there are people who come to Springfield with some very opinion, very, very serious opinions on very serious issues. I'm one of them. You know, my record is pretty clearly pro-life, for instance, regarding it. I disagreed with the governor. I will say this. When the governor ran in the Republican primary, he said he was pro-choice, and he would act accordingly. But that was not his agenda. His agenda, he said, was jobs and reforming education and reducing taxes on families and businesses. So, but we need a governor who is broader and can help facilitate the change that we need. I think he's proven that he's willing to take on the Democratic powers that be, and I have faith that he'll be even more successful of that in his 4 years. But primaries, you know, do create some division. You've got Democratic primaries around this state, a congressional. One, Lipinski, where very conservative Democrats being practically thrown out by liberal Democrats in that area. So you do get philosophical divisions even with primaries. But the goal here is that primaries can foster a debate that will help you get stronger. And I believe that'll be the case here. I believe Governor Rauner will win the primary, but whoever wins the primary, we will be stronger because of this primary if we handle it right. Now, there are some questioning, as you said, this ad that's being run, the tact and the nature of it, is that building credibility with particularly independents, or is it not? And that's a concern when you get into primaries because people get desperate when they're down. Mm-hmm. And you can get so desperate that it's hard to recover from that as a party. I think we'll be okay in this case.
All right. With that... we'll release you.
Well,
when you get back,
I'm still alive.
When you back
on your show
in Springfield,
I go to Springfield today.
Oh, okay.
We've got
right.
Legislative action almost every day every week this month, and then I think we take the primary week off for the election, and then pretty much in every day with the exception of a Passover and an Easter break.
All right. So I've got one more minute. I just looked at my thing here. I've got one more.
No, you
minute.
Said we're done.
I know. I did. I did say we're done. Oh, never mind. We'll let you go.
No, come on.
The next question I ask.
Do Eric, I get the minute since you're not
Eric,
taking it?
Eric, get mad at me.
Who?
Eric.
Why?
In the newsroom. Because I'm always late for news. You don't know the hell I go through every day.
Sounds like he does.
All right. Good seeing you.
Good to be with
Senator
you.
Senator Bill Brady, WJBC. It's